your service today. As Heather mentioned, I have a special interest in the environment and I'm currently studying the theology of the climate crisis. And I'm also a volunteer speaker for Christian Aid. And because the climate crisis and climate justice is very much at the heart of Christian Aid's work, it's great to have the opportunity to combine these two areas this morning. And Christian Aid's work is an ideal illustration of the theme that we have for this Sunday, which is using what God has given us wisely. So let me just see if I can make this. Yes. So I'd like to begin really by applauding you as a congregation for giving time to think seriously together about what's happening to the earth, because it's not an easy subject to look at. The more we look, the more we start to understand the seriousness of the problem and the part that we play in causing it. And when I think of all the harm that I have done to the earth just in my own lifetime, it can make me want to turn away. And it would be much easier to avoid thinking about it and just hope that others will sort it out. But this beautiful planet is our home, which we share with the multitude of other animals and plants, which together bring glory to God, God who is creator and sustainer of us all. And sadly, we're not treating our home with the love and respect that it needs for us all to flourish. And that means that our climate is changing, that many species are dying, and many people around the world are suffering too. And that's hard to hear, but I believe God calls us to listen. What's encouraging is that as we listen, we also find that there are many people working in creative ways to love and nurture the earth, and many ways in which we can join in that as well. Now, as I'm sure many of you know, climate change means not only that the earth is getting warmer, but that the weather is getting weirder. Even here in the UK, we're noticing changes. We have warmer winters, we have damaging storms, we have flooding. But in other parts of the world, the changes are having a much greater impact. And this is where the issue of climate justice comes in. Most of the damage is being caused by those who live in wealthy and industrialised nations because of the choices we make about how we live. But on the other hand, much of the damage is being felt by those who live in poorer nations, who depend largely on agriculture and often have precarious living conditions. To put it simply, this is fundamentally unjust and falls short of God's command to love our neighbour. I think it's helpful if we can recognise that there are not two separate crises, an environmental crisis and a humanitarian crisis, but one complex crisis in which climate change both causes and compounds poverty. I hope you enjoyed the film that we watched a little bit earlier about Janet in Zimbabwe and the amazing way that she has persisted against the odds to support her family. But climate change has made life in Zimbabwe very difficult. And I'm sure you'll have heard that we're battling to keep global temperature rises to within 1.5 degrees of pre-industrial levels. But in Zimbabwe, temperatures have already risen by more than 2 degrees C in the last century. Increased temperatures have been accompanied by significant changes in patterns of rainfall. So drought is now frequent, which causes crops to die. Rainy seasons come late, if they come at all. And often the rain then falls so intensely that the land floods and the crops are washed away. And 70% of women in rural Zimbabwe rely on farming to feed their families and on any food surplus that they produce for income. And in times of drought, it's a struggle simply to keep their families alive. But as I'm sure was clear from the film, these are not helpless women waiting for handouts. They are strong and resilient women with knowledge and skills and hope who were successful farmers before the droughts came. When we think about the Earth, it's important to remember that we are part of nature, not separate from it. When we buy our food in a packet or a tin from the supermarket, that's easy to forget. But it's something that would be obvious to Janet. If we don't honour and care for the natural world that we're part of, then in the end, we're all going to go hungry. In our reading from the prophet Micah, God calls upon the earth, the mountains, and the hills to bear witness to the sins of the people. I think what's really interesting to note here is that God has a relationship with the earth, which exists independent of God's relationship with humanity. The earth was here long before we were, and God knew and loved it then. We're here to care for the earth, and the earth in turn provides for our needs. Micah is one of the agrarian prophets, taking the cries of the peasant farmers to the rulers and cities of Israel, who are relentlessly taking from the land and oppressing the poor. The rich might be offering the correct sacrifices, but that's not what God is asking for. God calls humanity to humility, to walk humbly with God upon the earth. The root of the words humble and humility is humus, not the tasty chickpea stuff that we eat, but humus meaning ground or soil, the earth. If in humility we direct our eyes down to the ground, we'll find that we don't always treat the stuff of the earth very well. If we can discover our close connection to the soil, to the earth and all it produces, we're perhaps more likely to be humble, to be earthed, and to walk in humility with God. From a place of grounded humility, we can start to understand what it might mean to love mercy and to act justly, both towards the earth and towards our sisters and brothers in need. And I think our gospel reading can show us how to begin. Excuse me. So, we were in Mark. If you remember, the disciples were exhausted and stressed from their work, and Jesus had tried to give them some time out. But the crowds had followed, and Jesus, in his compassion, had been teaching them. Late in the day, the disciples tell Jesus that the crowds need to be sent away to get food. Now, maybe the disciples are concerned about the people's welfare, but I think it does almost feel like they're saying, "Oh, Jesus, can you just tell them all to go away now, please?" And Jesus knows that the disciples are tired, but still he says, "You give them something to eat." And at this point, I think it feels like the disciples have a little bit of a meltdown. Does Jesus have any idea how much that would cost? Are they supposed to go and spend, 8 months' wages on bread? So they've homed straight in on the economics of scarcity. It'll cost too much. They haven't got enough money. But Jesus sees things differently. He operates with an economics of gift and abundance. And I think it's important to see that Jesus doesn't simply produce food out of thin air. He challenges the disciples to think again. See what they have to offer from the goodness that God has already provided. It's only when they're willing to offer what they already have back to God that something amazing happens. It turns out that in Jesus' hands, there's enough for everyone to share, and plenty left over. It's certainly true that even for many of us here in the UK, times are incredibly difficult. The cost of living is rising, and financial pressure brings many other stresses along with it. And we need to be alert to that, for those who are struggling might not always be the people we expect. But it's also true that even in difficult times, many of us already have enough to live very well. And if those of us who do have plenty can be willing to offer what we have to God, then we might find that there is, after all, enough for everyone to flourish, both in the UK and across the world in Zimbabwe. The earth already holds an abundance of goodness, and to act justly means learning to use it wisely. Now, where God is present, there is always good to be found. So there are many reasons to hope for climate justice, and to hope that we will make the deep changes needed to reduce the worst effects of climate change. For God continues to look with unending love and compassion on all of us. We are deeply loved, whatever our failings, and God will give us the strength and the courage to act. We can make the changes that are needed for the earth and everyone in it to thrive in the way that Janet has. If we learn to love the earth, we might also find that the earth loves us back. And this is what Christian Aid has been doing in Zimbabwe and in many other places around the world. As people like us offer what we've already been gifted by God, it's put to work for those in need. One of the most important principles of Christian Aid is that we believe that the real experts are the local people in the countries who are in difficulty. So for that reason, as far as possible, we avoid sending people out from the UK, but instead work with carefully selected partner organisations, which are already established in places of need. And these are organisations which know the area, the local culture, and have local contacts. And they present the most effective and efficient way of getting the right help to the right people. Christian Aid provides these partner organisations with funding, with expert support and logistics so that they can operate consistently over many years, generating the long-term strategy that drives real change. And most importantly, this way of working empowers people to make decisions about their own lives. And in Zimbabwe, our partner organisation, called BRACT, has been training farmers like Janet in what's known as climate smart agriculture. And this involves learning different farming techniques and diversifying crops and livestock, because a greater variety means that people are less likely to lose everything when there is a dry spell. And they're also providing drought-resistant seeds and encouraging the introduction of cover crops to bind the soil together so it protects it from being washed away in heavy rain. And their money also provides for building materials to make storage facilities so that food can be kept safely and then used during drought periods. And there's also training in non-agricultural skills so that people have other means of income. And as we saw in the film, this ensures that people like Janet have enough food, not just for themselves, but to share with others as well. And it means that people are not only healthy, but that children can go to school and have the education they need to thrive in the future. So Christian Aid likes to suggest three ways in which we can use what God has given us wisely. And the first way is to give financially, as we're able, to organisations such as Christian Aid, so that people suffering the effects of climate change can find ways to adapt. And at this point, I'd like to say a really big thank you to you, because I know that there are many of you here who have supported the work of Christian Aid for many years, and you really do make a huge difference to people's lives. The second way to use what God has given us wisely is to act, to think about what we need to do ourselves. It may be that there are aspects of our own lifestyles that need to change, and I know you're going to be continuing to think about this in the weeks ahead. And I think it really helps to think about things together and to support one another in making changes. Another thing we can do is to use our voice by speaking about our concerns on climate and ecological issues to those who have even more power to act. And that might be people like our local councillors to find out what can be done in this area, or even writing to MPs or government ministers. Many politicians of all parties say they would be more active on climate issues if they felt that was what their constituents wanted. So we need to tell them. And then finally, of course, we can pray. And I think sometimes it helps to pray for someone whose story we know. So you might want to pray for Janet and her family by name, or pray for others like her, or for our partner organisations as they go about their vital work. And then we can pray too for the health of the planet. And we pray partly because prayer changes us. because it moves us to grow in our desire to do justice and to walk humbly with God upon the earth, which is our home.